As the summer comes to a close, I know that many parents with children, the main question that's on their mind is, are their children going to be back in school? That's sort of the question that's on the minds of those with children. And they want to know, we've heard about in-class learning and we've heard about virtual learning. So there's different choices there, and parents are, I think, for the most part, wanting their children to be back in school. They understand the importance of learning. In preparation for this lesson, I ran across where Martin Luther, the German reformer, preached a sermon in 1530, and it was titled, Why Children Should Be in School. And I thought that was kind of an interesting title for a sermon. Now, I'm not fluent in German, so I'm just paraphrasing that. That's sort of the basic title of the lesson. And I wondered exactly what Bible verses he used for that. But nonetheless, I think he thought that it was important for children to be in school. This morning, we're going to talk about learning. We're going to talk about learning Christ. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. If you stop and think about it, I can't think of anything more fundamental in life than learning. Stop and think about all that we do today that finds its source in learning. We walk because when we were a toddler, we learned how to walk. We speak because we learned as a toddler how to speak. We drive a car. We do many things based upon what we first learned. Learning is so fundamental, and it must be an integral part of our life from beginning to end. We should never stop learning. Because learning is what allows us to do things. There's so much that we do today that's based upon the learning process. And Paul is going to write in Ephesians chapter 4, he's going to say, you did not so learn Christ. Notice in your Bible, he doesn't say learn about Christ. He says, learn Christ. I believe that there's a little bit of a difference there, and we'll talk about that later. Are we learning Christ? We put an emphasis on learning, as we should, and that's why many parents are anxious for their children to go back to school here in a few weeks. Because we understand the importance of learning. Do we put an importance on learning Christ? I want to talk a little bit this morning about Ephesians 4, verses 20 and 21. The background to this section is where Paul is writing in the book of Ephesians. And in chapters 1 through 3, Paul has been writing about our wealth in Christ, the Christian's wealth in Christ. And in chapters 4 through 6, he's talking about the Christian's walk in Christ. You'll notice, starting in chapter 4 and verse 1, that from there through chapter 6, the word walk is used several times, our daily Christian living. And Paul, in this particular section, if you look at verses 17 through 24 that we're going to read in just a minute, Paul is talking about and encouraging the Ephesian Christians to no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Don't walk anymore as this worldly way of living. And we're going to see here in just a moment that there's a picture here in chapter 4 of the Gentile world that is very worldly and dark and ugly. There are two other places in the New Testament where you'll find that, in Romans chapter 1 and in a few verses in 1 Peter chapter 4. The way of the world is very dark and ugly. The way it's pictured today, the way it's advertised today, is it's fun and everybody's having a good time. But if you were to follow a worldly person all throughout the day, Not just what you see on TV. Not just what you see in the advertisement. If you were to follow their life all day long, you would find some problems. It's not a world that we want to be in. The devil advertises that just the fun stuff, just the stuff you see on TV, just the stuff that you see on a billboard. But Paul is going to remind us that it's a very dark world to be in, mentally and physically. And he's encouraging these Christian brethren not to be a part of that anymore. Don't go back to that way of life. That's the way you were when I came to Ephesus in Acts 18 and 19. And some of you were Jews, some of you were Gentiles worshiping the goddess Diana in the temple there. And it's a very worldly way of life. Don't go back to that. And so he's going to lay down how Christians are to walk or not walk. And it's in this section that we're going to learn this statement, "You did not so learn Christ." I want to encourage us this morning to be learning Christ. Let's read chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Paul writes, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk, in the vanity of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling gave themselves up to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye did not so learn Christ, if so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life the old man that waxes or grows corrupt after the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man that after God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth." While we're thinking about learning, I want us to think about learning Christ. Let's go back through, starting in verse 17, and let's talk about how that these Gentiles walked, how these Christians, their former manner of life. And when Paul says that you did not so learn Christ, he's saying there that when you became a Christian, you learned to live differently. You learned to live opposite of that worldly way. First of all, he says that Gentile world is the vanity of their mind. When you're living in the world, there's emptiness there. Vanity means emptiness. No purpose. Emptiness. And when people in the world get up each day, they have a vanity of their mind. But when we become a Christian and remain faithful, there is a purpose to getting up each day. There's a careful thinking in following the wisdom of God. And our thoughts and our actions are not going to be empty and fruitless and non-productive. And you'll see that in the world today. People will go out and do things and it doesn't produce any good. It doesn't help their fellow man. It's vanity. But Paul says, when you learned Christ, when you learned the gospel and obeyed the gospel, now your life has purpose and meaning, and you're careful to think a certain way that is only going to be according to God's wisdom, and it's only going to produce what is good. He said, don't walk anymore with this darkened understanding, being darkened in their understanding. As I mentioned earlier, the way of the world is dark. It's portrayed as fun and having a good time, but it's dark. It hurts people. It hurts. They hurt themselves. They hurt others around them. It's emotionally bankrupt. You look at the physical abuse, the divorces, the economic problems, the debts, all these kinds of things. All it does is hurt people, and it's dark. We don't see the drug abuse, the spouse abuse, the murder, the hurting people. We don't live in that world, and so maybe we don't understand what's going on, but it's a very dark place. I saw a statistic that over the past 3 and 4 months of this pandemic that suicides are up 30%. Drug abuse is up 25%. 13% of Americans have started taking drugs that they never took before. 13% of Americans started taking drugs over the past 3 months that they've never been taking before in their life. Divorce is up. Child abuse is up. Children staying home over the past few months, some of them are being beaten at home. Why is all that going on? It's a dark world without Christ. We don't run in those circles, so we may not realize what's going on, but that's what's going on. But when we learn Christ, we can be enlightened by the truth, and we stay away from that. Paul says, you're alienated from the life of God. What a terrible place to be in, where you're going through life and you're not in fellowship with God. But when you learn Christ and become a Christian, you're in fellowship with God each and every day. And so regardless of what happens, you know that you're on God's side and God is on your side. But to be alienated from God and then to meet Him in the judgment day, that's a terrible place to be in. And then he says, the ignorance that is in them. These people do not know the truth. They could. They could have knowledge through truth. And when we learn Christ and we become a Christian, we live by truth and knowledge every day. That which is right. We don't just go based upon ignorance. Ignorance hurts people. Ignorance destroys things. Ignorance is harmful. But Paul says, when you learn Christ, you get away from that type of thing. Paul goes on to say about this Gentile world, the hardening of their heart. People in the world can get hardened about what they're doing. Did you see the news story this past week where in North Carolina, the neighbor shot the 5-year-old boy point blank in the head? Did you see that? Now let me ask you, what is in a man, what is in a grown man, that he can be so hardened to do that and think nothing of it? People get hardened. And I believe the Bible teaches that when we first start doing things like that, we have a conscience. But Timothy talks about how that there are those, Paul writing to Timothy, talks about those who have been branded in their conscience. They feel early on, and we might as well look at this next one. We could look at both of these together. They're similar. People get to the point where they're hardened. And they don't feel anymore about the wrong that they're doing. It doesn't matter to them. I don't care. I think early on, God gives us a conscience, and early on we care. And early on, we feel. But you do it a second time. It's like lying and other kinds of things. The more you do it, after a while, you don't even feel it anymore. And Paul says, you have not so learned Christ. When we learn Christ and the gospel, we have a conscience, and our conscience remains pliable, where we are conscious of wrongdoing and conscious of the need to change. The gospel helps us to not be hardened, and the gospel helps us to keeps us from being past feeling. That word is not used much in the New Testament. And it's a point where when you cross over that line and you don't feel anymore, boy, better stay out of that person's way. They will say and do things and think nothing of it, like this man who shot the 5-year-old boy. And we're living in a world where there's more of that, where people do things and they don't care. They don't care what they're saying or doing. And it seems like it's starting at an earlier age than it used to. Young people, be careful about that. But when we learn Christ, the gospel tells us that we serve with emotions, and we're to love people, and we're to have emotion, and we're to care about our conscience, and we're to feel for the other person, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and so forth. It keeps us from becoming this hardened, non-caring individual. There are women who regularly have abortions and just go on their merry way when they walk out of the clinic. No big deal. It's just getting rid of some fetal tissue. That's all it is. And the fathers who go along with that as well. Learning Christ keeps us from getting to that point. You see, when you get to that point, it's very dark. Paul says, lasciviousness. This is a word that means literally without self-control. Some of the other versions, like the New King James, use the word licentiousness, which I like because it has the word license in there. You feel like you have a license to act any way you want. And you're not restrained. But when we learn Christ, we're restrained each day in our thoughts and our words and our actions, and we're going to be controlled, not this unrestrained living. And when we learn Christ, we're not going to engage in uncleanness and greediness. We're going to engage in righteousness and pure living. So Paul is saying, this was the way you once lived, but you did not so learn Christ. When you became a Christian, you learned things that keep you away from that worldly way. And don't go back to that. Notice in our passage this morning, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, Paul writes, "But you did not so learn Christ." This is manner. The New American Standard says, you did not learn Christ in this way or like this. In other words, when you learned Christ, you were learning things that were... It's a different manner of living. And that's what we've just seen. To stay away from those things listed in verses 17 through 19. The word learn here, we get our English word math from this word. Emathete, math. Factual knowledge. Learning key facts. And it's so important when we think about going back to school and things like that, it is so important that learning Christ is at the center of that. Whether we're going back to school or not. Key facts. Learning factual information from the New Testament gospel is extremely important. We're going to talk about in just a minute the importance of teaching and learning. We need this factual knowledge. Today I'm seeing more and more of, I don't want to, you know, don't confuse me with the facts. I just want to talk, I want to do, I want to act. But I don't want to hear actual things that reflect truth. But that's the very thing we need in our life. not just with science and math and history and social studies and geometry, but with our spiritual knowledge of God's Word. Notice in verse 20 and 21 that Paul talks about learning Christ. In verse 21, the American Standard says, "If so be that you heard Him." If you have the NIV or the ESV or some other newer versions, it talks about if you have heard about Him. The word "about" is not in the original text, and it may sound to you, the point that I'm about to make, it may sound like there's not a lot of difference. But Paul is not talking about where you heard some stuff about Jesus. Is there a difference between hearing, we'll use Clarence, hearing Clarence or hearing about Clarence? There's a difference. If you hear Clarence, you hear from him, straight from him. If you hear about Clarence, anybody could be telling you that. Literally is, if so be that you heard him, you heard Jesus. They didn't just hear some things about him. Being a Christian is not just hearing some things about Jesus, hearing some interesting facts, hearing some doctrines. It's hearing Jesus. And Paul was there. Jesus in person was not there in Ephesus. Paul was there, but he was speaking the very words of Christ. They were hearing Jesus, not just hearing about him. Paul says in Galatians 1, 11 and 12, "I got my message straight from Jesus." When Paul preached, they heard Jesus, not just heard about him. And so learning Christ and hearing him, not just hearing about him, but hearing him literally, that tells us that when we become a Christian and remain a Christian, we are to be a true disciple and devotee. We are to be Jesus. The word disciple comes from this same basic word, mathetes, learn, math. We get the word math from that. When we learn Christ, we are becoming just like Christ. I say that because in our Bible classes and in our sermons and in our personal daily Bible reading, don't think of it as just learning some interesting facts. But how can I be an actual follower each and every day? Like Christ in my words and actions and so forth. Learning Christ, not just learning about Christ. Learning directly from Him when I read my New Testament. Look at verse 20 and 21. When Paul came to Ephesus in Acts 18 and 19, he returned back in Acts 19. These individuals made a spiritual change in their life. And notice how it came about. It came about by learning, and then verse 21, by hearing, by teaching, and by truth. It did not come by a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. When our young people go to school to learn, it's by hearing, by teaching, by listening. The teacher does not give them a direct operation. I would wish for that when I was back in high school. I wish the teacher could give me a direct operation to do those algebra problems. That would be great. But it doesn't work like that. And in the religious world today, thanks to John Calvin and others, we have this doctrine that people are changed today because of the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. That's not the case. The case is teaching Paul, and learning the Ephesians by hearing. That's how it happens. And that's how every case of conversion in the book of Acts happens, and that's how every true case of conversion happens even today. They were not forced to obey. They were not forced to hear. They were not forced to understand. They were not forced to learn. They voluntarily learned Christ and came away from that very dark world. And Paul is encouraging them to keep doing that. In verse 22 and 23 and 24, if some of them need to continue putting off that old manner of life, they need to do that. And if some of them continue to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, they need to keep that learning going, so that they can be more mature and better Christians each and every day. Well, what we find then is that Christianity is a religion that comes about by learning. It's not a fought religion. Can you think of a religion, a world religion, that got started with literally fighting other people? Islam? Around 630 AD, Muhammad in Medina and Mecca and those areas over there, modern-day Saudi Arabia, he literally would go to villages fighting them in order to convert them to that religion. Do you remember in 1000 AD, 1100 AD, the Catholic Church sent soldiers into Palestine to convert Muslims to Catholicism through what was called the Crusades? That was literal fighting in order to convert people to Christianity. Christianity is not a fought religion. Christianity is not a bought religion. You can't buy something. You remember Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, who wanted to give money to have the gift of laying on of hands? You can't pay for your religion. St. Peter's Cathedral was built as a result of the Catholic doctrine of indulgences, where if you pay money to the Catholic Church, you can literally buy people out of purgatory. And one reason that a man named John Tetzel, who was a part of the Reformation, one reason why he came out of the Catholic Church was he was sent out every day to collect money to build St. Peter's Cathedral. And he told people, if you'll give me money, you can buy people out of purgatory. After years of that, he said, I can't do that anymore. There's no Bible doctrine for that. Christianity is not a bought religion. Christianity is not a caught religion, like you catch a cold. There are some denominations that have the slogan, catch the spirit. And you'll see that on their sign, catch the spirit. What that is, basically, is you're just sort of going along in life and somehow you get something. It's not that. Christianity, true Christianity, is a taught religion. And Paul taught it in Ephesus, and they learned Christ. Learning is very, very fundamental to our life. So as we close this morning, I want us to consider some lessons about learning. First of all, learning is how we come to God. Turn with me to John chapter 6 and verse 45. Learning is how we come to God. It's not a direct operation. We are not directly operated upon. In John chapter 6 and verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets. This was true even in the Old Testament, not just the New Testament, but is written even in the Old. And they shall all be taught of God. From the book of Isaiah. They shall all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard from the Father and hath learned cometh unto me. That's how we come to God. That's how we always come to God. Number two, learning comes from teachers. And knowing that, here at Warfield Boulevard, let's be developing ourselves and volunteering to teach our young people and the adults. That's how learning comes about. Several places in the book of Deuteronomy, I've listed just one, Deuteronomy 4:10, that the children of Israel were to be taught the law of Moses so that they could learn the law of Moses. The importance of good Bible class teachers. And as time goes on here in this congregation, let us be volunteering for that. Let us be working with others to develop ourselves to do that. Let us tell the elders, Daniel Mabry in particular, who's working with the teachers, assigning that each year, talk with him about how that I want to teach next year. Good teachers provide good learning. And we want to be looking down the road and thinking down the road even here. When Daniel was taken to Babylon, the king wanted them to be taught the learning and the language of the Chaldeans. Learning comes from teaching. So let's be thinking about that with regard to our teachers here. Another lesson that comes to my mind is that learning is not just simply done through information, it's done through me as a person. Learning comes through example. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul says that you might learn in us, he's talking about himself and Apollos, that you might learn in us not to go beyond that which is written. Learning comes through teachers and others setting the right example for the next generation. In Philippians 4 verse 9, Paul said, the things that you learned in me and saw and heard, these things do. All of us, in a sense, are teaching, if nothing else, through our example. So let's always be setting that right example. Learning needs to be done in an orderly environment. All of our school teachers here today can tell you that. The importance of an orderly environment. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 31. The Bible class, the assembly like we have right now, if it's orderly, if we're paying attention and our mind is focused and we're here to learn, that's where learning can take place. School teachers will tell you that if there's talking and there's cutting up and there's other stuff going on, that is not a good learning environment. So orderliness is necessary. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 31, rather than just having the tongue speakers speak whenever they wanted to and the prophets speak whenever they wanted to, they were to take turns. One person speaks at a time so others can listen. What does that orderliness achieve? For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be exhorted. Orderliness leads to learning. That's why the classroom environment, if you will, the assembly, the setting in which we are trying to look at the Word of God, that needs to be orderly. That's where learning takes place. Turn with me to Psalm 119, verse 73. Learning requires understanding. And you might think, well, isn't that the same thing? It's really not. Psalm 119, verse 73, as you're turning over there. When I was in high school, I took a physics, in my senior year, I took a physics class. That was very difficult for me. I learned things each day, but I didn't understand them. And my tests reflected that. You can learn information or facts, but if you can't put it together, you haven't really learned that subject. And when it came time for the tests, much of it was just foreign to me. Every day I was learning a little bit of this, but I didn't have the understanding sometimes to put it all together. And so learning Christ is not just simply reading some verses, but we have to understand the words that we're reading. And so we talk about defining words and learning the context and asking and answering questions and raising our hand and saying, what about this? I'm trying to fully comprehend it. I don't want to just read over a phrase or a statement. When I read something and I ask myself, well, what what does that really mean? Can I verbatim give that back? And if the answer is no, then I need to do some more understanding. Psalm 119, verse 73. Learning has to be coupled with understanding. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. We can hear things, we can hear words and phrases from the teacher, but do we really understand them? The high school class will tell you that one of my methods, and we use it every class period, I go around the room, each one, after we read a verse or we're talking about some things, and I usually start with Cayman and just work our way around, and they all do a great job. But I ask them, what does that mean? We just read something. What does that mean? Or we're talking about something. Nina, you know, Carlin, Christopher, Alexander. What does that mean? And there'll be a little pause there, but their brain's going. It's going. And then they formulate it, and they word it, and we go, okay, now we understand. We understand what that means. I do that for a reason. I don't just simply want to be up there saying things and writing on the board. Understanding is necessary. And this is why, if you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7, sort of a puzzling verse. It explains this puzzling verse. Paul talks about those who are ever learning but never come to a knowledge of the truth. What does that mean? How can somebody be ever learning but never come to a knowledge of the truth? Well, it's this very thing. There are people all the time that learn some things about the Bible, but they never come to a knowledge of the truth. They don't have the understanding to put two and two together. And if you were to ask them, well, what does that mean that you just read? Well, I have no idea. I heard some words. So, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. They're in class. They're here. They're always reading their Bible. But they're never understanding it and applying it. So let's make sure word studies, context, asking questions, what does that mean? All the time. It's so important. You know, learning concludes with actual doing. We have to go out and do what we've learned. And some learning is by doing. Learn to do good, Isaiah 1:17. When Jesus said in Matthew 9 and verse 13, go learn what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. When Jesus said that to the Pharisees, did he mean go check out a book at the library? Did he mean go to school and enroll in a class called mercy? No, go learn what this means. Go practice it. They weren't practicing mercy in their lives. If they had, they wouldn't have condemned the disciples for trying to eat some seeds as they walked through the grain field. If they'd been practicing mercy, they wouldn't have done that. Go learn what this means. Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. These Bible passages talk about how that people learn by doing, not by checking out a book at the library, not by enrolling in a class on that subject, by practicing it. Learning Christ is not just book knowledge, it's being Christ each and every day. Learning can be rejected. That's why Paul tells Timothy to abide in the things that you have learned. We've got to stay with it all of our life. And then last of all, learning is completely voluntary. No one is going to force you to do it. No one is going to force me to do it. Jesus makes an invitation. Come learn of me. Matthew 11:29. And whether it's during the sermon, during the Bible class, our daily Bible reading, which we're doing great at, let's keep that up, let's keep doing more of that. It's completely voluntary. It's an invitation. We're not forced to learn Christ. Well, the lesson is yours. We're hearing a lot today about learning and the importance of learning, and I think that is important for our young people. But even more important than that, learning Christ and being a faithful Christian each and every day. It's not some direct operation. It's not something that's forced on us, but something that comes through being taught and that process of truly understanding. If someone this morning, having learned Christ, needs to come and put Him on in baptism, we would encourage you to do that. If someone needs to come back in some way and you've slipped back into that old life that's not learning Christ, we would encourage you to come out of that. But as we begin this week, let us put a premium on learning. Think about how much you do today based upon what you've learned. And then apply that to being a Christian. How mature and faithful we could be the more we learn Christ each and every day. If we can assist you, if we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?